couple weeks ago, we told the story of Jesus' birth, and everyone knows the story, because if you want to know the story of Jesus' birth, all you got to do is watch ABC, right? And there, Peanuts will tell us the story, and Linus, and he gets up there, and he sets us all straight. And I'm so glad it's still on TV, you know, that it's not been pushed aside as not needed anymore. It certainly is needed, and the world needs to hear the story. And this Charles Schulz, in his wisdom, made that beautiful story, and the little boy tells the story. So what happens next? They go to Bethlehem. The baby's born. Now what? Most of the time, we go right to the shepherds, right? And we go to Twelfth Night. We go to the Epiphany. And then we move on, right? Springtime's coming, right? But it's not. It hasn't. What are they doing? They're sitting there together, and they got this baby. And it's in a manger, and the cows and everybody around them. And what do they do now? And what we do know is that they do stay in Bethlehem for at least 2 years waiting on. He's just going to work there for a while, Joseph. He finds work, and it's his home of his people. He probably has contacts there, and so there they stay. They don't go back to Nazareth right away. So what do? On the eighth day, it says, when it was time to circumcise the child and give him his name, they didn't name the babies till the eighth day. We have fun picking names, don't we? And so I have a cousin who said, I want to adopt another kid because I want to name it. We'll get a puppy or something, but I'm going to go get a kid, and they're quite expensive, you know, to adopt. They don't come cheap. And then I just want to name them. We do like naming things, don't we? Got a cat named Lucy. Everyone's got a cat named Lucy. So on the eighth day, it was time to circumcise as they're following the law, right? So he was named Jesus and given the name that the angel had given him before he was conceived. They call him Jesus. His name means God is salvation. It's Yeshua from the old Bible. It's the same name as Joshua. We've seen this name before. Jesus, God does these things where he kind of keeps repeating things. He doesn't really surprise us with something new. He's born in Bethlehem. We've seen the city of Bethlehem before. When I was younger and didn't know anything about the Bible, it just popped up like, why this city? And we see it's the city where Jacob and where's Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife, was laid to rest in Bethlehem. And we saw that King David came out of that city. And we see that Ruth went back to be there with her mother-in-law in the city of Bethlehem. It's the city of bread. Beth always means home, and Lehem means bread, the house of bread. Bethsaida means the house of fish. Bethel means the house of God. That's the only three I know. Don't know what Bethany means. House of something. So they're living there in Bethlehem, and when the time came here in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem, which wasn't that far away, maybe 20 miles away. Long walk, isn't it? To go to church to present him to the Lord. According to the law, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. This is from the book of Exodus chapter 13. The people are leaving Egypt after 400 years of slavery. Moses is leading them out. They haven't gotten to the Red Sea yet. They're in the middle there, and they say, you know what we're going to do? Stop what you're doing. We're going to consecrate our firstborn right now, right here. The firstborn is dedicated to God. I'm the fifth born. I don't know what I am, right? The firstborn's, right, the most important, gets the inheritance, it gets the blessing. And I'm the third born son and the fifth born child, and what do we get? I didn't even get a tuba to play in high school, did I? I had to borrow one. Everyone else got a fresh new instrument. My parents were out of money. No one's playing them. You're probably going to be just like the rest of them. The firstborn. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the Lord of the law. Bring a sacrifice. And so here, and they brought two pigeons, something cheap, because they were broke. The wise men hadn't come yet, right, to give them a bag of money. And they don't have much money. They need to bring two animals to be sacrificed, one for their sins and the other as a burnt offering to be purified. They're not in the church yet. They're outside the church. Now they can come into the temple because they are clean. They followed God's law. And I think about that today. It's a little side note, but how do we approach God when we come to church? You don't have to dress snazzy as me. I like to dress this way. Because you watch football, how do the coaches dress? In like a sweatshirt, right? And what is this Joe Buck and Troy Aikman dressed up? to the nines, aren't they? They used to dress up in basketball. Now they just wear, you know, the team sports stuff. But the sportscasters dress up nice. That's how I want to dress. Not everyone has to dress this way because it's not about how we dress. What they're saying is it's how you present yourself before God. You're going to come in with your heart open to hear him. That's what we're asking for. How do you approach God? And they come because they know what the law is. We see later on in Jesus' life with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are giving Jesus a hard time for not obeying the law. But he was raised in a home that followed the law, didn't they? You see it right here. He comes from a family that honors God. He knows he knows the rules. So now they've gone to the temple and they brought these two birds and they hand them to the priest, and the priest wrings their necks and lets the blood drop it down, raise some on the altar, then they have a big burning altar with all that burning meat and they put it on there. It's pretty gruesome. I'm glad we don't have a burning altar of meat here. We'll get some durian. We'll get some rotten flesh smelling, right? Burning here. So there's a man there. He's in Jerusalem. His name is Simeon. And you know I love names. I just told you about the breakdown of what the Bethlehem means and all those other cities. And Simeon, we see him in Genesis chapter 29, bringing you into it, Leah. And Simeon is a son of Leah, who is the first wife of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, right? And so she's not as loved by Jacob as Rachel is, because according to the Bible, she's not as pretty as Rachel. She's got weak eyes, which may mean she wasn't as good looking as her sister. And when we comparison's the thief of joy, right? There's always someone better looking than you and someone worse. Not many worse looking than me, but we'll pray for them. So there they are. So Leah wants her husband's attention. And what can he give him to get her attention? His children. So they go into the tent and they have four children, and one of them is named Simeon, and his name means God has heard me. And so here we have this man named Simeon who has heard what God has heard him and given him something that he desperately desires. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He's waiting his whole life to see the Messiah. We see that in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses says, God's going to lift up a prophet greater than me. And when he does, you better listen to him. You better listen to him. So they were waiting through all this time for a Messiah to come. And he's here, and Simeon is waiting for him. Moved by the Spirit, he's in the temple courts. He's looking. He's walking every day in the courts looking for the Messiah. It's going to be there when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon sees them. Simeon takes the baby in his arms. They just give it up. That's kind of strange. Melody still hasn't let me touch that baby, and that's a good thing because I'm not very good at holding babies or babysitting them. You know my history. Left them in the car, right? Hey, walked her down the aisle. Everything ended well. Simeon took the baby in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. He's waited his whole life to see the Messiah, and now he's holding him in his hands. Isn't that an awesome story right there? I could have died after Super Bowl 3, 2018. I finally got to see my Eagles win a Super Bowl. They're playing today. It doesn't matter if they win. I've seen it. I can't get greedy. You know, we're Eagles fans. We know failure. But we saw it once, didn't we? I don't care. And it's all right, Nancy. If they lose, I seen it. I watched it. I didn't watch it live because I was too nervous, because I had to be up at 3:30. So in 2018, I went to bed, end of third quarter, had to see what happened the next day. What a day. Waking.
Son's at the game today.
Is he? He's not here?
Yeah, not here.
Well, that's good for him. But he's saying, I've waited my whole life, and now I can die. I've seen what I wanted to see more than anything, and that's the Messiah. I can now die. He's the salvation, and he's for all the nations, he says. He's going to be a light of revelation for the Gentiles. That's us. And a glory for the people Israel. He's for everybody. Isn't this great news? He sees it. The child's father and the mother, they marveled at what was said about him. They're walking around with this baby, and someone out of the blue just picks him up and says, I know who this is. This is the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. Then Simeon blessed them. He gave them a blessing, and then he said to Mary, hear this. This is the good news was coming, but then there's bad news too, isn't there? He said, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. So you imagine Mary hears this blessing of how wonderful this son's going to be. He's a light to the Gentiles. He's going to bring glory back to Israel, but only if people listen to him. Some will rise because of him. We will rise because we believe in Jesus on that day, won't we? They're not putting me in the ground. I'm going straight to heaven. And then we'll have crab cakes at my funeral. Y'all coming? Y'all know the deal. Larry Metz is going to bring that truck of crab cakes wherever y'all have it. Maybe it's over. Wherever it is, show up. It'll be worth it. And don't cry for me because I'm in glory. That's what he's. Some will rise and some will not. Those who disagree will fall. It's our job to make sure everyone rises, isn't it? To be a witness to that. And so we'll see when Jesus comes, he's going to tell people what you know about the kingdom of heaven, how things are, and then our hearts will truly be revealed. As I watch these quick videos of what college students think of Jesus, and they hate him. They don't want him in their lives because we want to do what we want to do. Not all college kids, but the ones that always appear, and they're arguing with the street preachers, and they don't want Jesus in their lives. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't realize how empty things are. But then he tells her at the end that a sword is going to pierce your soul. You're going to see your own son die, Mary. You're going to be a witness to it. You're going to be there. It's hard to follow Jesus. We learn it in the Bible, isn't it? We see the rich young ruler, right? He wants to follow Jesus. Jesus says, sure, you can follow me. What do you got to do? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Just give everything you own away and start following me. Whoa. We don't like anyone. Has anyone done that yet? Does he mean give it all away or just the attachment to it, really? He means be generous of what you have. That was a story for another day. There's a prophet there. There's another one. Her name is Anna. She's of the tribe of Asher. You remember the 12 tribes of Jacob, right? Can you all name them? Asher is one of them, right? Benjamin. Ham. Naphtali. We don't have to worry. But you know, there's 12, and she's very old. She only had a husband for 7 years before he passed away, so she was a widow until she was 84 years old. And what did she do with her time? What did she do with her life? She spent it all in the temple. She was there worshiping every single day and night, fasting and praying. And she was that, what a faithful woman. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So this woman knows who it is too. She sees it. This is the one that's going to save us all. She's been waiting, praying. She hasn't been spending her life wasting her time like I do some days on YouTube. But she went out there and she's waiting and she's praying. What can we do in our old age? We're not as active as we used to be, but we can continue to pray for one another. And we sometimes discount that, don't we? Why do we do that? You asked me to pray the other day, my friends in the back, and I did. I was sitting down with putting the bulletin together, and I thought about those people you told me to pray for. And I actually did it. You asked me to do it, and I actually did it. And I prayed for California like crazy, because I can't believe what they're going through. We've seen a little destruction on Rock Church Road and the hassle it causes. The whole half of the town is gone. It's unimaginable. So she's waiting and she gets to see him. She knows who he is. Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord. Then they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, after a couple years. The child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's a beautiful little statement there, isn't it? This child is... Luke really does a good job writing, doesn't he? That's why I love it so much. Look at the beautiful words he says. The child was filled with wisdom and grace was upon him. Amen to that. Whew. I wear myself out with all this excitement. We see people in the Bible. We see Joseph, and an angel appears to him and says, obey me. Obey the Father, and he does it. Then it goes to his wife and says, here's what's going to happen, Mary. Do you want to go through with this? You want to be the mother of the Savior? She says, your will, not mine. She sings that beautiful song, the Magnificat, right? And we see Zechariah. You got a job to do, Zechariah. I know you're old, but you got to go home. And you, Elizabeth, got to have a baby. We need this child. And so they listen and they have a child. We see the shepherds and the angels call to them, come, you got to do what we tell you to do. Come to the city. Come see the baby. Tell the world about him. The Magi obey him. They see the prophecy. They see the star, who was probably an angel leading them to Jesus. And they worshiped him. They brought him wonderful gifts. And they ignored what the king of the world said, right? They ignored what Herod said. And we see these two, us old couple too. It's still part of the Christmas story. Simeon and Anna obeying God, being faithful, waiting and watching. Even in their old age, they can die. They're happy because they've seen the salvation of heaven. Everyone is obeying what they were told to do. And as you noticed, for the last year, I've had this conflict in my heart that we just want to say that God is love. Love is love is love is love. That's all we need is love. And the Beatles sang that, right, Jack? All you need is love. You need more than love, too. Sometimes our love is misguided, and I don't want to get in that today. I beat you all over the head so many times with that last year, and I had to go see my friend David Burke to calm myself down and say, what is going on with people? Is love just love? Is love, is that all we need? We need more, too. We need to listen to what God says to do, because sometimes we love things that aren't good. I love fried chicken. We have in our basement a thing of Ben and Jerry's, and we're both looking at it, and we decided we're not going to eat it. Because my wife and I, you know, we're going to Scotland and we want to get in shape. And we love Ben and Jerry's. But we're not going to, you guys drive by my house, pull in, I'll give you the Ben and Jerry's, get out of my sight. The last flavor they made was terrible. It's called Netflix and it has peanut butter ice cream with pretzels ground up in it. But the pretzels are so finely ground that they're sort of grainy, like dirt, like sawdust. Not very, this one wasn't worth the calories. Where am I? Ben and Jerry's was not in my sermon. But it is the baptism of Jesus. He grows up. He grows up, and people are following him, and they're asking him, are you the Messiah? And he says, I am. And so as they're, there it is. They ask Jesus, what are you here for? Bringing the kingdom of heaven here to earth. You're going to bring peace on the kingdom. What did the angels say when they were flying over Bethlehem? Peace on earth and goodwill to men. And what does Jesus say here in Luke 12? Did I come to bring peace, does he say? He says, no. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. Just like Simeon prophesied he would. Some will rise, some will fall. There will be a split. Some will listen, some won't. I've come to bring not peace but division. I've come to bring fire on the earth, he says. And how he wished it was already started. This is not the fire in California he wanted to bring. No, that's something else, please. But I have a baptism to undergo, he says. Here's his baptism too. He's got to go to the cross and be baptized, to walk through the waters. Isaiah said earlier as we read, we walk through the waters, we will not drown. We walk through the rivers, we will not be swept away. We walk through the fire and we will not be consumed. But Jesus says, I have to go through this. I'm the one that gets destroyed, not you. Do you think I came to bring peace? No. From now on in a family, there will be 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. I came to divide people. And there's a choice we have to make. Love is love. God loves us all. He said so in Isaiah. What's he saying? You have to follow me. Here's your choices. If you follow me, where will we be? We'll be in heaven one day. But if we don't, we will not get there. There's only one way to heaven. Not many ways. There's only one way. If You want to get to the Father, you have to come through me, says Jesus. And that's a choice each and every one of us needs to make. I pray you've made the choice to follow Jesus. You show up here every week, and I think you have, but sometimes we need to hear it over and over again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank that you protect us, that through all the evil in this world, you are with us. We will endure a little bit for a while, but we know one day you're coming back to save your people. One day you will come back on the clouds, and you will separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are the ones that will enter into heaven with you. The sheep are the ones that clothe the poor and feed the hungry and visit the infirmed and the sick and those in prison. We pray that we're not the goats. We pray that we know who you are. We pray that we're not the foolish bridesmaids that weren't prepared for when you come back again, because we don't know when that will be. You don't know Jesus either, you said. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows when you are coming back. Until then, we need to follow your commandments, your precepts, your rules, your regulations. There's so many. We know we can't follow them all. We will break most of them each and every day, but we pray upon you. If we go to the cross, we kneel before you, we know that they will be forgiven. They will be wiped away, and we will be whiter than snow. And on that day, we will stand before you, our sins wiped away. We will stand and we look at the Father, and he will say, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." And he will place upon our head that day a crown of righteousness, not just for me, not just for you, but for all who accept Jesus. Bless us this day. Keep us in your care. We pray for our friends in California. We pray for Ann and Bruce. We pray for the surgeons that are healing our friends here in church this week. We are grateful for all that we have. We thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people say, amen.